Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get over there!
Everybody up there!
Get into it!
Ooh-way.
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show. And online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation. Always dressed up and ready to go, even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Nation Show. I'm your host, Jason Grill. Thanks for joining us today on 980 AM KMBZ, as well as on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and at grillnationshow.com, where you can find all of my guests, pictures of my guests, and all the information about the Grill Nation Show. It's a holiday season, and around here we enjoy running best of shows at this time of the year. Hopefully you're enjoying your holiday. Excited to have you listening here today. We're going to run a best of show, but first I want to thank my partners and supporters of the Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill. The title sponsors of the show are Truss, MoBank, BOK Financial, and Two West Advisors and Ryan Rink. Guest hosts and contributors to Grill Nation are The Rieger and Jay Rieger & Co., Ryan Mabey, One Light Luxury Apartments, and Reactor Design Studios and Clifton Alexander, guest host and honor contributor. Thanks for your support of the Grill Nation Show. On today's show, we will be joined by Alan Galen, who's the owner of Bread and Butter Concepts, a great company here in Kansas City and throughout the... On our second segment of this Best of Grill Nation Show, we're going to be talking to Jim Waggy, who's the owner of 8 McDonald's in the Kansas City area. On our third segment today, we'll be joined by Tucker Trotter, who's the CEO of Dimensional Innovations, a great Kansas City company. And in our final segment, we'll be joined by Devin Henderson, who's a comedian, magician, and corporate speaker. He will make you laugh, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us. On today's show, we will be joined by Alan Galen, who's the owner of Bread and Butter Concepts, a great company here in Kansas City and throughout the area here on the Missouri and Kansas side. Bread and Butter Concepts is about surrounding you with things you expect from an ultimate host. In each of our restaurants, you'll find yourself in a relaxing environment that remains energetic and exciting. A place you'll want to bring friends where you'll feel welcome. They attend to your needs while enjoying the company of friends. Each of our establishments will immerse you in a feeling of comfort and belonging. Alan Galen, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks. I'm great.
Great to see you. So you have a busy man. You have a great entrepreneurial story and a lot of things that maybe people don't know about you when they visit the restaurants. But for those of you, we'll get into that story here in the next segment. But in this first segment, I really kind of wanted to talk about kind of your company, Bread and Butter Concepts, and really kind of focus on the different restaurants that you guys open.
Yeah,
so give us kind of an overview of the company first, and then we'll get into kind of some of the concepts.
For sure, yeah. We have 8 restaurants. We started the company in 2009 and moved to Kansas City and decided this would be a great place for a lot of reasons. One, my wife is from here, and she had some deep roots and connections in Kansas City. So and the economy here has always remained fairly consistent. So it was something that we looked at, and as we looked at the restaurant industry here and decided, you know, let's give it a run.
And we'll get into that after about your journey. But in 2009, you know, the economy was an interesting spot.
It was.
When you started to do this.
It was in a fairly bad spot for the restaurant industry. 2007-ish is when casual dining industry really crashed pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
And the big casual dining companies were really taking a beating. And, you know, that's when Las Vegas and Phoenix and Florida, all the big cities started really, really hurting on the housing side. So it was a risky time to say the least, but, you know, entrepreneurs, I think that's one thing that they do. You know, they're not willing to take risks, and, you know, you have to taking risks in those kind of times, or sometimes the times it pays off best. So, you know, we saw an opportunity that, we felt like there was a real need. And, you know,
so did you start when you started the company, did you envision having a lot of different concepts, or was it just like, we're going to try a restaurant out and see?
Yeah, I never even thought about 10 deep or 20 or 30 or anything like that. You know, our goal was to open one successful business and, you know, see what happened after that. And, you know, the traditional way to grow a company and, you know, the restaurant industry would be to, you know, open one concept and then grow that particular concept, you know, and you see 10 of them or 12 of them. And, you know, that's kind of what we had in mind if we were looking at the future at all, would be to do that. But didn't quite turn out that way for us. So.
We're talking to Alan Galen, who's the owner and CEO of Bread and Butter Concepts here in the Kansas area. The website is breadnbutterconcepts.com. So talk to us about your restaurants that you have on board right now, and,
yeah,
and give us a flyover of each of them.
Yeah, BRGR Kitchen and Bar was our first one.
Burger concept.
We call it a modern burger concept, but it's really a casual dining concept with a focus on burgers. So, you know, we do traditional stuff and a little bit off the wall, but everything's fresh, you know, chef driven, made in house.
You have an interesting dish there called tachos.
Tater tot nachos.
And yeah. I've enjoyed those on a few Sundays watching football.
Yeah, they're pretty fun. Tater tots are pretty hard not to like.
They got pretty popular there.
Yeah, they did. They're really popular. We just came up with some new versions, you know, a nachos version and a poutine version in a couple different ways.
So you guys have a BRGR, a couple locations,
we have
right?
Three total. One in Prairie Village, downtown at P&L District, 14th and Main, and then in Leawood at 135th and Row.
So you got that going on.
We got that going on. Then our second restaurant was Urban Table, which is also in the Corinth Center at 83rd and Mission. Farm to table, American lunch and breakfast, brunch on the weekends there. And then at dinner, we flip over to an Italian-American menu, which we just recently did about 3 or 4 months ago. So, but it's fresh, using local ingredients, mid-price point, kind of a really cool environment.
Really cool. The build was really good. The environment is pretty modern.
Yeah, it's very modern, but very casual. It's a casual setting, easy to relax, and just kind of that neighborhood, kind of cool, hip neighborhood place, you know. Then we opened Graham and Dunn.
When did you guys open that?
Graham and Dunn, we opened 6 years ago, November 22nd. Just last week was our 6-year anniversary. Kind of an upscale American. It started out as a gastropub. Gastropubs are kind of gone by the wayside in name now, but it's just really cool culinary American creations is really what it is. It's got a great environment. Obviously, the patio is, you know, about 100 seats, overlooks Brush Creek and all the hotels and condos on
It's open pretty much year-round with the weather the way it is, but also you have fire pits out there.
We have fire pits out there, so if it's 50 or above, it's pretty comfortable around the fire pits. And, yeah, if we can catch weekends like last weekend, it's all good, right?
So you got that, and then you got a couple other concepts.
We do. We have Taco Republic over across the street from Oklahoma Joe's, Mission Road. It's an outdoor, really a Texas taco version, you know, big outdoor area, a lot of fun, tacos and quesos and things like that. And then we have the Oliver, which we kind of call it upscale American tavern, if you will. We kind of do approachable, recognizable foods there, really cool drinks. We have bottle cocktails. It's kind of in a library setting a little bit, just on the plaza around the corner from Graham and Dunn on Jefferson Street. And then our newest restaurant, Stock Hill. Upscale steakhouse.
About a year old,
coming up Friday, actually.
It's a modern steakhouse.
A little bit different than your traditional steakhouse, you know, and the ambiance is certainly more big city, more modern feeling. Menus a little more diverse than your traditional steakhouse.
Alan Galen is our guest on the show today from Bread and Butter Concepts, CEO. Won a lot of awards, if you go to the website, accolades, if you will, for the restaurants. We just breezed through them real quickly, but we'll get more into them after the break. I want to talk to Alan about his entrepreneurial journey and really kind of dive deeper into being a restaurateur and what that takes, and also talk about some of the time he spent over with Houlihan's and throughout the country. It's going to be a fun show today, and then we'll talk a little more after that about kind of the Kansas City restaurant scene. You're listening to Grill Nation here on KNBZ 980 AM. Thanks for joining us.
Boom, clap, the sound of my heart, the beat goes on and on and on and on and on. Boom, clap, you make me feel good, come on to me now. Boom,
You're listening to a best of Grill Nation.
Welcome back to the Grill Nation show on 980 AM KMBZ. Appreciate you joining us again today online or on the radio. Jim Wege. Wege.
Wege.
Wege.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, great name. I tried to spell it out. He is a owner operator of McDonald's throughout Kansas City and has a family history working at McDonald's. So what is your favorite thing to eat at McDonald's? You've been there long enough. Let's kind of start with that because I know you say you like to eat it still. You've been there forever, so.
That's right. I guess my death row meal would be a double cheese plain, large fry, hot apple pie, Dr. Pepper. That would probably be it. But I do enjoy a lot of the menu, actually. I mix it up. But if that's just the one that you can get going into McDonald's, I like that.
You guys started all of those dollar menus and kind of evolved. When did that stuff all start happening? I remember as a kid, you know, we can talk about the innovation of the Happy Meal. But it seems lately you've kind of made things are, you know, you had the meal deals and all that, supersize me, all those things. You got to continue to be innovative. And do you have any selection of that at your stores, or is that just all a corporate type deal? I'm very interested in that because I go to McDonald's in different cities and sometimes I see different things.
That's right. Well, we're getting more and more national. We're evolving right now where it's going to be more one voice speaking for everyone. But we've traditionally been a pretty co-op based business where we spend a lot of money locally that would allow us to do things that we wanted to do, try different flavors, different sandwiches, different ideas. But we are in the process of evolving to more of a national platform, which a lot of our competitors do too right now.
So, do they?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm in charge of the Kansas City Co-op for the Kansas City McDonald's operators. So we bring in a lot of different products and promotions, things that are specific to us, like our partnerships with the Chiefs and the Royals and different products like McRibs. And we can test certain things that
Kansas City's like a testing ground, isn't it? I see that all the time with different fast food operations or groups. They want to test their product here in Kansas City.
That's right. It's a short plane ride from Oak Brook, our national world headquarters. And, you know, Kansas City has led in innovation in McDonald's a lot. We invented the extra value meal.
Okay.
So that's a...
Which one was that again?
No, that was like the big sandwich, the fry and the drink, supersize it.
Okay. That was invented in Kansas City?
Yeah, that was invented in Kansas City.
When you say that was invented here, was that invented by the co-op folks? Or?
Yeah, the co-op folks. Operators and regional management came together and thought, well, what if we package this together? And we started out with four at $2.99. We had the Big Mac, the quarter cheese, two cheeseburgers, and...
Which is crazy to think about. So you guys really innovated the entire fast food market right here in Kansas City.
Right, we did. And well before that, Bob Bernstein at Bernstein Rain came up with the Happy Meal, which...
What year? How long ago was that?
Gosh.
70s?
Yes, it was the 70s.
Because when I was born in 1979 in the 80s, obviously. I was getting Happy Meals all the time. That was born out of Kansas City.
It sure was.
Wow. And so it was tested here and it went well and then other markets adopted it.
Because Bob, he started advertising with us, I think, in 67 and he did a lot of premiums. So he brought a lot of stuff like sippy dippers and flying saucer frisbees that would actually be a cup lid and, you know, just puppets and, thing, you know, pencil erasers that were looked like Ronald McDonald. He was kind of in the premium business. And finally, McDonald said, Bob, do you want to be a premium salesman or do you want to be an advertising agency? And he chose to become an advertising agency. And at one point, he was one of the top 50 biggest advertising agencies in the whole United States when he had all the national Walmart, all national Blockbuster, and some really big national accounts. But he loves McDonald's. He's passionate about McDonald's. He's had a relationship with us for 45 years. And recently, they were chosen to be one of only seven advertising agencies that can service McDonald's for the whole nation.
Wow. Oh, that's interesting. And all here in Kansas City, you know, I don't think enough people know that. Although I think the Happy Meal thing's starting to make its rounds. I think we've got kind of the new millennial world is starting to find out that it was actually invented here in Kansas City. And the great thing about that as a kid is, you know, you always got a toy. Now, I don't have any kids yet, Jim, so I haven't been getting Happy Meals in a while. But have those evolved at all? Or those changed at all? Or how does that work now?
Well, you know, we partner with the greatest brands, you know, whatever it's going to be, whatever is in demand, whether it's a movie theater product, you know, something with Disney or something with Transformers or something like that. So we always... being that we have a big buying power and a large distribution network, I think the toy manufacturers want to come to McDonald's first because we're going to get a lot through with our volume. And so we get the premium of the premiums to give away in our Happy Meals.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. You mentioned your death row meal. What's popular these days with your customers? You obviously have a lot of data if you're running 8 stores here in the Kansas City area. What are still some of the highlights?
Well, they like whatever's on sale a lot. So McDoubles are very popular after a Royals double play. Big Macs are very popular after a Big Mac sack with the Chiefs. They like our core menu, really. I mean, you can bring in a lot of other sandwiches. I mean, they like the seasonality of the McRib.
Now, the McRib has always been kind of that cult classic. Mm-hmm. I've had it before, but I know a lot of friends who are obsessed with like when the McRib's coming mm-hmm. back. And it's just kind of, it's not like a seasonal thing where you guys say every year it's going to be in the fall. Does it change?
Well, you try to keep it in the fall. We try to run it sometime between September, October through January. We try to get that done, depending on what else is going on with the national calendar.
And it's still hot. People still want it.
Yeah, they love it because they wait for it. You know, it goes away and it comes back. So, yeah, there is a cult following in the McRib.
But your French fries have always been one of the finest.
They're the best. You know, we protect our fries. We always have our eyes on our fries, make sure they're great, and they're just always cooked the same.
What's one menu item that you love that you wish more people would give a shot to? Because they always go for the classics.
Yeah. Well, our signature crafted line is so good. I don't know if people really know the quality of that product, but, you know, we have this artisan roll, and we have chef crafted toppings that come on. Mm-hmm. And right now we have a new sriracha sauce one that's really good, but our pinco de gallo is great. And, you know, our spicy barbecue is great and comes with bacon. And we have neat cheeses like, you know, cheddar, mm-hmm. white cheddar cheeses, and just gourmet.
You guys are really evolving because mm-hmm. the market is shifting, but then you have the people that just want to keep the classics.
That's right. They love the classics, but the new stuff, you know, now we're letting the customers have more choice because choice is important to our customers. So they can have a choice of having that signature crafted line with a grilled chicken with no antibiotics in it, or the crispy fried chicken, or the quarter pounder. Mm. And they can have a choice of a bun too.
Mm. So it is evolving. Talk to me about kind of market share with the breakfast. So you guys, I remember as a kid getting breakfast at McDonald's a lot. I'm sure that still happens. But, you know, back when I was growing up, you used to actually like go and sit in the restaurant. You know, mm-hmm. drive-thrus weren't as mm-hmm. big of a deal. I don't even know if there was a drive-thru at the Berry Red location.
There was.
There was there, yeah. Okay, yeah, there was. Now that I think about it, there was. But is the breakfast, is it still like a 10:30 a.m. thing? How does that work?
So now we have all-day breakfast, okay. So that's kind of messed it up a little bit. There's not that big rush to go to McDonald's. You know, that Jim Gaffigan skit. You know, McDonald's stopped serving breakfast at 10:30. How else are we going to know when breakfast is over if it weren't for McDonald's? But that little funny thing Jim Gaffigan does.
But I mean, I remember that it was 10:30. Yeah. Now, I haven't had breakfast at McDonald's mm-hmm. in a while. Forgive me, but I didn't even skip a beat. I knew it was 10:30 a.m. It was mm-hmm. like programmed in your mind. That's right. When it ended.
The mad dash.
And but now it's not. Now it's all day.
Yeah, it's all day. I mean,
if I want to go there right now, you can get pancakes.
You can get pancakes. You can get most all of our breakfast menu right now.
The big breakfast when I was a kid.
That's right. The big breakfast.
Still around?
Still around. Add cheese to the scrambled eggs. Nice touch. You'll like it.
So all that's still going. So that's interesting. So you guys really operate full capacity. And then, you know, obviously there's a lot of menu items. How many value menus do you have now? Compared to the 3 or 4 you started with?
Well, we have, you know, something for breakfast. We got a deal for lunch. We got a lot of deals coming. And particularly in January when everything switches to national, I can't give away the whole secret, but we're going to have, you know, 3 new menus. We're going to have a dollar menu, a $2 menu, and a $3 menu. So we're going to have items on the $1, $2, and $3 price point nationally advertised.
Do more people gravitate to those than they do the actual old school extra value menus that you created? Because I'm the kind of guy that, you know, if I'm trying to eat a little healthier, I'll just get the sandwich and maybe an iced tea. But, you know, I remember in high school, it was all about the value menus. And now I feel like there's been a shift towards, like you just said, the $1, $2, $3 type stuff.
There has been, because you know what? The customer wants to be boss, and we need to let the customer be boss. And when we say you can have this burger with this fry and this Coke at this price, they're like, no, I don't necessarily want that. I don't know if I want a Coke. I might want something else. So that's why we're starting to piecemeal it out and have some $1, $2, $3 offerings mm-hmm. because we want the customer to be able to pick and choose and kind of make up their own meals because that's really what they want.
How is the, you mentioned desserts in one of your segments or the apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
Is that seems to have been pretty standard the whole time. I mean, I know you have yogurt parfaits and whatnot now, but the apple pie is kind of the traditional and it's still around.
It is. When we first brought it out, it was deep fried and some people say, oh, I want the deep fried one back. And I love the deep fried
one. Oh, it's not deep fried anymore.
Now we're baking it.
Okay.
For health reasons. So it's not in the grease and it's healthier and it's really a good pie. I mean, I love that thing. So it's a little bit different, but it's the same feeling with cinnamon in it and it tastes really good.
So has that menu evolved too? The dessert menu? Or have you kept it pretty small?
Kept it pretty small. I think we have plans to blow out the dessert menu in the next 3 years, and I think you'll see a lot more coming. We're totally evolving our menu right now. I mean, McCafe is going to be plussed up and changed a lot. You're going to get more offerings. You're going to see some baked goods coming in the store next year. Mm-hmm. Uber Eats are coming to my Berry Road location, I think, in October, where you're going to actually be able to get on your phone and have McDonald's delivered to your house. That's coming. Mobile order and pay is coming this fall, where you can go to your McDonald's app, which you should download now, and add in your credit card, and you can order off your app and go right to the drive-thru and pick it up, or come inside, take it to go, or come inside, sit at a table. We will find you at your table, and we will bring your food there because you already paid for it through your app.
We're talking all about McDonald's today on the Grill Nation Show. We'll be right back after the break.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Don't give up.
Listening to a best of Grill Nation.
Welcome back to Grill Nation.
You're listening to a best of Grill Nation.
And on iTunes, if you're listening via podcast, as well as on grillnationshow.com. You can connect with me on Twitter at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show. Really excited to continue on with our guests today. We have Tucker Trotter, who's the president and CEO of Dimensional Innovations, and Tom Collins, who's the chief operating officer of Dimensional Innovations. Also joined today by Jeff Phillips, who is the senior vice president at Mo Bank. We're talking, learning more about Dimensional Innovations and some of your work. I'm looking through a amazing catalog that you've put together and brought into the studio with some of your projects, locally and nationally. Let's touch on some of the ones that you've worked on, to create better experiences here locally that you're proud of. I'd love to learn more about some of the projects locally you've worked on.
Well, the first one I think is maybe the one that's caught the most attention for us over the years, and that's the library books that are for the downtown library. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that one gets a lot of attention. You still see it on social media as kind of, you know.
I just saw it on your LinkedIn profile.
All right, there you go. So, and it, you know, it's
innovative. It was definitely innovative.
Yeah, and Jonathan Kemper is really the, you know, he's the one that came up with that idea. And there was a lot of pushback. It seemed weird, seemed like a weird idea. And so, one of the ways that we like to work is we just make mock-ups, and we made a full-scale mock-up and just tested it, and once we put it up on the side of the building, we could tell it was going to be a really cool concept. So that's one that we're really proud of. And then, you know, I think the work out at Arrowhead and also at Royals has been great.
You guys also touched the streetcar a little bit, I think, right?
All the ATA, all the KCATA work, and so we're really proud of that. Continue to see that stuff that can grow, and so driving around town and being able to see your work is very satisfying.
And you mentioned AMC was one of your first clients.
Yep.
And so whenever you walk into an AMC theaters, and the one at the time that was opened at Power and Light District, and also too, there's tons of them throughout the city, obviously.
Right.
Just each one of them is a unique experience and different, I think, in a way.
Yeah, they're all different, and they're always evolving. So one of the things that we like to do with AMC is help them kind of continue to explore how the guest experience can always be better, and how, you know, guest preferences are constantly changing. And so making sure we are testing and trying new things out with them.
That's awesome. Yeah. We need so much more of this. Now, you talked about sports too, Tom. You mentioned the new stadium in Atlanta. I'm looking through your book here, and you guys have done experience in many stadiums, new stadiums throughout this country, both the college and the professional level. Talk to us about some of those, because I'm looking through and I'm seeing, you know, Charlotte, Minneapolis.
Yeah, we have
Kansas State's in here.
And we're fortunate to have over 100 either professional sports franchises or D1 schools as clients. So we've done work all over the place. So
you're talking about kind of take me through what you're touching in the stadiums.
Sure. So we're touching everything from fan experience stuff. So we did the Viking Voyage. Minnesota Vikings created a unique space dedicated entirely to fan experience. Locally, we did a bunch of stuff at the front of Allen Fieldhouse. A lot of the interactives that people engage with as they're walking into Allen Fieldhouse at KU. But then we also do things like potential involvement in luxury suites or locker rooms. So, for instance, we did the football locker rooms at K-State. So
I'm looking at KU basketball's in here as well.
Yeah,
it's some. Looks like man, that's a nice. That's a nice locker room in there.
Yeah, and the common thread with all this is helping either brands or schools recruit and retain athletes mm-hmm. and student athletes. So
I have seen the K-State work you did. I was out there a few weeks ago. Also to the Royals Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You touched that.
Yeah.
It just adds so much to the experience. You're right.
Yeah.
Compared to what we used to have at stadiums, right?
Right.
Well, and another one you don't really think about is the Community America experience at Arrowhead that mm-hmm. they just did. And as you're walking through the concourses, you know, and it used to be the big gray drab concrete, but Community America has done a really nice job of branding that and making that interactive as you're walking into the stadium. So spaces that you used to never think about before, mm-hmm. you know, now give you an opportunity to engage.
What is that like? Modern or putting an experience into an older stadium compared to the brand new, beautiful Mercedes-Benz place or the one in Minneapolis that are brand new.
Each one has a unique challenge, is how I would define it.
I mean, yeah, because if you're working on a Wrigley Field, obviously, or mm-hmm. something that's old, you know, you've seen renovations at Lambeau and all these old stadiums recently, and some people are not happy about them. But then it's just kind of like our new airport we're going to be getting. You know, it's like, I think once people see it and see the innovation in it, they'll be like, oh, this is great.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the change element, right? Yeah. And so you're putting in these new experiences at old, some are older, right? Some are newer. That's got to be an interesting, you know, tightrope to walk, especially with you guys being so creative.
And I think we really enjoy both. I think they, like Tom said, they both come with their set of challenges, but, you know, respecting, you know, in the case of Arrowhead means something to all of us, right? We've all had experiences there. So we want to respect that and take advantage of what we inherited there. So those round circulation ramps, everyone's seen them and been up and down them or, you know, during their lifetime. So, like Tom said, we were able to kind of activate those and make them into brand experiences that people, so it really improves the, you know, the visitor experience.
And also staying cutting edge, right, Jeff? I mean, I'm looking through your book. You guys have touched, you said, 100 different places in the sports world, at least. When you go to those initial meetings, you know, they don't want to be cookie cutter. They don't want to be just right. like the team down the street, right, or the other Big 12 school. So just figuring out ways to do something innovative, it's got to be hard.
Yeah.
When you have so many clients, I mean, how do you do that? How do you keep coming up with creative ideas? Is it just through your strategy process with the client and hearing what their needs are? How does that work? How does the process work for something like this? Because in a world I live in, it's all about processes and about strategy and about. So I'm interested to hear more about
and
that.
We have a process, but the variable that's different in each one of those is the client. And so we always bring the same process, and we vary up. We have a different team, of course, but the client's always different, and our process involves the client quite a bit. So mm-hmm. We're not like some design firms that, you know, go away and come back a year later with the idea and say, here it is. We want you to be involved every step of the way. And so we demand a lot from our clients. We ask them what story they want to tell, mm-hmm. what's their brand attributes, all the things that they're trying to achieve on the business side. We want to make sure that what we design fulfills that. And so that does require them. And then they're going to bring their unique style and element to us. And it's up to us to interpret that into the space. So that's what makes each experience different. And so I think as you flip through our book, you notice that there's not a common look. Every one of them looks unique, and it's probably because it represents our client.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Tucker, how's it changed as you kind of deliver on those environments? I'm sure it's gone from not so reliant on physical structure as it is like technology and videos and music and lighting and all that kind of stuff. Have you all had to learn that discipline, or have you added on additional talent to do that piece?
I think the first real tech heavy project we did was for Mizzou, and that was probably 10 years ago. And so
that,
since
what was that a part of? Which deal was that for?
You know the name of the
was it training
Tiger
facility?
Yeah, the Tiger, Tiger Wall. Tiger, interactive yeah. Tiger Wall. Yeah. But I don't know the building it's in. I think
say that there might be some potential more work down there for you guys as it continues to grow the football stadium and whatnot.
That's good.
But I was just down there at the basketball arena last Friday, and to me it's still one of the best. It seems so new, and it was built when I was in law school back then.
Right.
But it doesn't – it feels as if it's a great environment, a great stadium. It hasn't aged at all.
Yeah.
Which is cool, I think.
And that tech project for us really started it. It got it started, and – I think a lot of people saw that. It got a lot of attention in the sports world. And so that kind of the budget that goes towards technology has grown every year since. And so the fastest growing group within our company is our tech group. And so it's really exciting because, you know, like you said, Jeff, building physical elements is important, but having technology is also really exciting because you can create an experience nobody's ever seen before. Mm-hmm. And it can constantly evolve with the brand. So as Mizzou has more wins, they can constantly update it and constantly make the content fresh to new recruits and what's relevant to a new recruit. So
you guys also, I mean, I'm sitting here, Jeff, thinking to myself, man, I should have got a job with this company years ago, right? You guys are touching, you're going to work on a lot of fun projects.
Yeah.
And just
they all seem to be smiling when you go in there, too, so it must be a good environment.
A lot of good company culture too. You guys are that's important to y'all. I've looked at your awards page, and you know, best places to work is a reoccurring theme.
Yeah.
And your employees, and you know, one of the fastest growing companies in Kansas City as well as in the country. Your employees seem to really enjoy the work they do there.
Yeah, I think a few years ago, our executive team every year. Kind of at the beginning of the year, we talk about what each one of us is going to focus on. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's lots of things on all of our lists, but we always try and decide on one thing that each one of us is going to focus on. And for the last several years, mine has been culture. And it's been tough a little bit to give up design because that's my passion. That's what I went to school for. But in a way, focusing on culture is a design project. And so really designing who we are and our culture, and then having that be consistent across the different offices and as we continue to grow is going to be really important. So that's been sort of my obsession, and I think it's really helped us scale so that the new people that come on board understand what we believe in, what's important to us, and so the culture is going to continue to be a big focus of mine.
And I would say from the outside looking in, like it seems like all decisions are made through the filter of culture. Because I think about like Tom, whenever you all are kind of talking about executing things, and like Allison on the accounting side and all of that, it all seems to be done in the purview of what does this do to our culture.
Yeah. I love it. Let's get back into that after the break. We're with Tucker Trotter and Tom Collins from Dimensional Innovations, joined as well by Jeff Phillips from MoBank. You're listening to Grill Nation here on 980 AM KMBZ. Thanks for joining us.
Listening to a best of Grill Nation.
Welcome back to the Grill Nation show here on KMBZ 980 AM and on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. I want to get right back into our awesome segment and show today with Devin Henderson, humorist and keynote speaker. His website is devinhenderson.com. A lot of fun. Check it out. Very successful entrepreneur here in Kansas City and throughout the country. Devin, first of all, what are we looking at when people hire you? I want to kind of just get to the nuts and bolts. We're doing humor, motivation, corporate sales, corporate parties, magician. What do you offer here?
So yeah.
we can
basically
tell people.
I can either open or close a conference or do an after lunch spot that has some content in it about using humor to deal with change and stress and difficult people. Where I bring in some magic, I bring in some humor, audience participation, really make it exciting. Because sometimes in conferences, people are getting that heavy information where it's like, we need a break or we need to kick this off fun. So that's mainly what I do.
People are like, who's this cheesy guy? It's like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. They well, and excited. Then, yeah. Well, then like sometimes they'll have me as their keynote speaker and then they'll have like a banquet that night and I'll do like after dinner, just straight mentalism or something. So, and sometimes close up magic before the cocktail or a meet and greet or a Q&A or, you know, sell my products, my books, my best selling books, Jason. Let's make it clear. They're not best selling.
So we were talking off air about a turning point in your life.
Yeah.
You know, I always think, you know, I look at your website, you've done some openings for some big comedians, and I thought, you know, at some point he probably had the chance to be on one of these national TV shows and maybe mm-hmm. open on one of the late night shows, and you apparently already did that on a reality show. Tell us about that.
Yeah, okay, so it was America's Got Talent, and I bombed, kind of.
You didn't bomb, but you went on the actual show.
Yeah, I went on the
Howard
show.
Howard Stern, Heidi Klum, I've there never really watched it, but I knew they were involved.
Right, this was season 9, so this was about 2.5 years ago. I get an email that says, we're looking for a master pickpocket. So they must have YouTube thief or ex-con or something, but they found me taking watches on videos and they're like, we want to fly you out here for your audition. By audition, they mean get straight in front of the celebrity judges and on the Hollywood Boulevard in the Dolby Theater in front of 5,000 people. And I was like, hold on, I'm not a master pickpocket. I do pickpocket in my act, but that's not my focus. I mean, you've seen these guys, right? On these, I don't know, these guys just taking a million things a minute. That's not me. But I was like, well, if they're going to fly me out there and pay for this, okay, sure, why not take the opportunity, right? I mean, this is really the opportunity of a lifetime, literally. So I was like, I'll go. So I go, and they assign me to an individual producer, and we're talking about, okay, this is what we'll do. You'll steal some watches. The first time will be kind of low-key. The next time, we'll steal Nick Cannon's necktie, and we'll get creative from there, because you always want to up the bar every time. So I just did my thing. I did my thing that works, right, in front of corporate crowds, the things that I showed them the video, okay, this is what you're going to get. So I did it, and the judges were just like, wah, wah, wah. I mean, Mel B, just like, ah, there was no magic. You said you were a magician. I saw no magic. And I thought, dang, she doesn't get it. But she's entitled to her own opinion. She's a moron. That's cool.
So what about the other judges? Heidi Klum
loves
you.
So
Heidi Klum loves you. That's always a good thing to have in your
well,
back pocket.
You know what? So Heidi Klum liked it. Howard Stern likes magicians, so he was respectful. He goes, I liked it. I wish I could steal watches. Unfortunately, it didn't play for 5,000 people, which was interesting to me because they always put the guys through doing the penny tricks and the, you know what I mean? So to me, it was just like, that's not consistent, but whatever, Howard. Howie Mandel said, literally, he said verbatim, I have friends who do a similar act and they do it really well. Now he's talking about the master pickpockets. Now, unfortunately, on this America's Got Talent show, some magicians go through doing very elementary tricks, but if the judges have never seen it, it's amazing to them.
Sure.
So guys like me who are just, you know, I'm not saying I'm amazed, but like average guys like me watch that show and go, are you kidding me? The handkerchief and the hand trick, the little spongy balls trick, you're freaking out over that. And then that stuff was, I learned that stuff in days. The wash still took me like 5 years to even like become, you know what I mean? Like fluid with it. So anyway, it was a little bit frustrating. And of course,
but
for
it was
me,
a turning point for
it
you.
It was a turning point. First of all, it hurt. I was like, I don't want to use the word depression, but I was depressed. I mean, I came home and the kids were like, what's wrong with dad? Because I mean, think about the Twitter following I would have gained if, cause they didn't even air my segment, which I'm kind of glad. I didn't want to have to explain this to everyone. It was a missed opportunity to gain a national following and book myself in better places and get more money. I mean, this was a chance for possible fame. So a couple blessings from that experience. Number one, I realized I'm done with magic. I wasn't passionate about it. Not that that's why I failed, but I was like, I don't love this thing anymore. And had I gotten pigeonholed into that and become successful, then I'm doing the thing I don't like anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good thing I didn't fail. The other thing is, I now tell this story. I tried to hide it for years, but now I tell the story in my motivational speech when I'm talking about humor and when life's hard, laugh hard, mm-hmm. right? That's my whole message. Life's hard, laugh hard. And so this was hard for me, right? And I wasn't able to laugh about it right away, but it's over the years, you know, my wife and I joke about it. And what I realize is that while the stupid part of me wishes I would have become successful and become a millionaire, the smart part of me is saying, dude, you're already rich. You've got a wife who folds your socks. You've got 5 kids who come home and have pictures of butterfly landing in elephant poop. Life doesn't get better than that. You know, I've already arrived, really. The smart part of me knows that. Now I'm fighting to, you know, always better
and
myself.
You're booking tons of corporate stuff.
Yeah.
Now,
and so,
which is what you actually enjoy, the comedian stuff. You don't have to travel with all your tricks.
Yeah. So why am I upset about this? Right. And so I think it is that prideful, like I want people to respect me and know me. And I want to walk into a room and have people be like, that's the guy. Mm-hmm. But really, I know I don't want that ultimately, you know, but I think we can all, everyone can maybe in show business can relate to that. Like I want to be bigger. I want to be more known. I want to make more money.
Yeah.
But that's, there's no happiness there. I mean, like, where's that road lead? You know, look at Elvis Presley, and he and I are very,
very similar.
Very similar.
Yeah. Devin Henderson, devinhenderson.com. Yeah, if you're interested, he could offer humor in the workplace, innovation and creativity, customer service, teamwork, entertainment only, and hosted MC for your corporate outings or your banquets or whatnot. He's worked with pretty much everyone in the country at this point if you go to his client page. It's a long list of people, man. Clifton, you need to add that to your website. Just list thousands of clients.
Yeah, I know. We don't have as many of the big names.
So anyways, and there's always ways to connect with Devin here. So Devin, we've got a couple minutes left, man. I mean, just any entrepreneurial wisdom, and Clifton might want to have a question there too.
But yeah.
Hey, what's your response to someone that's like starting a company or working really hard trying to get something going?
At the sake of sounding like Matt Foley, go for it. You know, I have a friend who is a magician who worked a day job until he was nearly 50 years old, finally got let go of that. Then he was able to pursue magic and his business exploded. Because I heard someone say one time, wait, is your day job your safety net or is it your drag net? Mm-hmm. And when you can't invest in it fully, it's going to hold you back. And so you're never going to test that out. So test it out and fall flat on your face and fail. You know, I walked into 40 restaurants. I mean, I got 38 no's. That's hard to hear.
Yeah.
You know, you just keep going for it.
But you got two yeses, which led to a career, which led to a actual business,
mm-hmm.
which led to providing for a family.
Mm-hmm.
And you own your own life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, you can...
Yeah.
You could fly to Hawaii, which you haven't done yet, since your honeymoon, and book a gig and sit by the beach.
Yeah.
You could.
You have
five kids, it makes it a little difficult.
Yeah.
But you can bring them with you.
Yes.
So you got a lot of stuff going for you, man. Yeah. DevinHenderson.com. Any final thoughts, Clifton? A minute left in the show.
I was thinking back on those two restaurants that said yes, right? And I think people don't really realize the impact they can have on another person's life, you know? And so all those no's that you got, you did get two yeses. I don't know who those restaurants were. They're probably local, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. But those restaurants, the managers of those restaurants literally helped change your life and your family's life and built a career for you on something very simple.
Mm-hmm.
As simple as saying, sure, you can do a free show for me once.
Yeah.
As a test, what's the worst that could happen? Mm-hmm. You know? And those other restaurant managers, you know, they ended up missing out on something really potentially big. And so it's an interesting thought to think of it that way, right? And this is how every entrepreneurial journey, I think, starts, is there's always one person who says yes the first time. Mm. And that's the start of it as it moves forward.
Wow.
Well said. Let's end on that note. Devin Henderson, at Henderson Comedy on Twitter and devinhenderson.com. Appreciate you joining us today. Looking forward to spreading your name around town to bunch of different corporate people, and good luck and congrats on all your success.
Thank you.
Great to have you. Clifton, thanks for setting this up today. You knocked another show out of the park, that's for sure.
Thank you, Jason.
We'll see you again next week here on Grill Nation. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.